to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, folks, so we started our focus on possible DNA evidence that might indicate reality of Bigfoot or some kind of hybrid creature that contains a little bit of Bigfoot, a little bit of humankind, with Gene and Chris and David Politis and J.C. Johnson exploring all these things. We did also very briefly open our forums at forum.theparacast.com to questions about the things we're talking about today. We do have one question that's relevant to our discussion, Chris.
Yeah, this comes from Mike, who's been a five-year member of the Paracast forum at forum.theparacast.com.
He's very tired and he's never logged out.
Yeah, he's been around for a while, and he does ask good questions. And this is something I was wondering about, David, as well. Who is actually doing the so-called peer review on the DNA results, and how long do you think it's going to take for the actual results to be made public?
I personally don't know exactly where this is at today, and it would be improper for anybody who would know to release that information. So JC, myself, and everyone else is under a non-disclosure agreement, so we can't release information that isn't already out there in the public venue, so we wouldn't say where it was at. But hopefully it's moving ahead. This process takes much longer than many people understand. When you talk about probably the most important article ever written in any scientific journal anywhere ever, if you were those scientists that had to approve this, you would make sure you went through this with a fine-tooth comb. So the people that are reviewing it don't want to be embarrassed. They want to make absolutely certain that what they're approving is real, so you can understand the cautionary nature that they're taking.
Good answer. And boy, I applaud the amount of time and effort that has gone into this. What? Give us a time frame. I mean, how long ago did this study begin in terms of the actual compiling of scientific data, having tests done? How long has this team been working on this?
Well, it started 5 years ago when we submitted a sample to Dr. Ketchum. She laughed originally, and she says, oh, we'll test it. And son of a gun, she calls me 2 days later, and she says, wow, Dave, this didn't react like anything I've ever seen. That started a process where we continued to gather. We probably got 24 samples to her, and then she said, you know, let's really make a run at this and try to get a shotgun sampling from North America. And we went on a large radio show in the States, and both of us explained what we were doing, and we ended up attracting, like JC said, over 100 different samples.
I was perplexed as to where I was going to come up with the money to have some samples tested, so we put up the YouTube video, and I got contacted by all kinds of people, and then eventually a Ketchum study seemed like the best place to go, because there was going to be a compiling of many samples verifying each other, and I thought that's the best way to go, and in the end, was the right thing to do. It was the right place to go, because anybody else would have gotten a hold of this DNA. It would have come back the Mito side human. They would have, once again, they would have said contaminated, or it might have come back 99% human, 1% unknown. You know, you've got all these different factors coming back with these samples. So to have a comparative situation with all these other samples in mass that all match up with each other, that's the amazing part of it. That's really the overkill of the study, is the amount of samples in it.
I hope we'll see those results in a few weeks, in a few months. And then we can have you guys back, or maybe even have the person who performed the test on the show, and then hopefully give us some more information and answer everybody's questions about the worth of this study. Now, let me ask you both a question, David and JC. Over the years, is this the first major study of possible DNA evidence of Bigfoot?
As far as I know, as a compiled study.
Yes.
For peer review, yeah.
But why did it take so long?
So it took Dr. Ketchum probably 18 months to unlock this. And you got to understand that these tests cost tens and tens of thousands of dollars to perform. We're way up over several hundred thousand dollars in this study. And so one of the obstacles was try to find the funding, number one. Number two, to get labs to participate, because a lot of labs don't even want to be involved in something like this because they believe it's a hoax from the very beginning. we were able to attract some of the best labs in the United States, and a couple of university labs participated as well. And so when, amongst all of this criteria, this doesn't come together quickly. This is a slow evolving process. And you have one person who's the ringleader on the science side, that's Dr. Ketchum. I had to manage her own work at the lab and then do this work on the side because she isn't getting compensated for this. She did it all in her good graces. Other than paying for chemicals and the outside lab, she did it on her own. And because of all of this, it was a tremendously time-consuming ordeal.
Chris, what? More questions?
Well, that's it on this particular subject. I think maybe we should move along and talk about Dave's other work, especially the Missing 411 book. This is a topic that I am very, very interested in, and I think more people should be made aware of this whole mystery. And I think this would be a good time to jump into that, Dave, and really talk about Missing 411. Why don't you give us an overview of how you first even came up with the idea of looking into the thousands of people that are just disappear without a trace on this continent? How did you first get involved in this subject?
So part of the DNA process that we're working on with Bigfoot and is traveling a lot, going to different locations, interviewing people, understanding the circumstances behind how they got certain evidence, etc. And I was in the national park, and I was talking to a couple of employees there, and these were not employees of the federal government. These are contractors that work on the national park site. And sometimes these are people that just clean rooms. Sometimes they're vendors in restaurants, etc. A lot of people don't understand that the restaurants and national parks aren't run by the government. It's all subcontracted out to other companies. And these are private individuals that would talk to you, whereas the National Park Service would probably never talk to you. So I was there, and I noticed that there were a couple of National Park Service employees that were just kind of hanging around. They weren't getting in the way. They weren't being rude. They were nice, polite people, but they showed some subtle level of interest in what I was doing there. And at the end of the night, I was staying at a location off the park, and you get one of those knocks on the door. And it's kind of strange, but because no one knew, I didn't think anyone knew where I was. And person comes to the door and says, "Hey, Dave, I'm so-and-so. I'm an employee of the National Park Service. I saw you were at the park, and we actually know who you are, and we know your work, and you're a former police officer. You've done a lot of quality things, and we know you could trust to be followed up with what we're going to tell you." And they came in, and they told me a story that they'd worked at previous parks, and most National Park Service rangers and law enforcement officers during a career, average stay is probably 7 to 9 years at one location, and then they move on. And so during a career, they may see three or four different locations. And they stated that the previous places that they had worked at, they had had disappearances. And they said, on the face, it doesn't seem unusual. And there's a lot of publicity at the forefront when someone disappears. But after a short while, all the information stops being released.
Now, maybe we can clarify this a bit more, David. When you talk about disappearances, is this something like someone doesn't come home, someone doesn't show up at work, doesn't show up for an appointment, and they never hear from that person again?
This could be as simple as, hey, I'm going up to Yosemite this weekend. I'm going to hike around. I'm staying in the valley. I'm staying in a place called Curry Camp. I'm not going to go out for more than, 7 or 8 hours on a hike, and I'll be back. That exact story has replicated itself so many times. So meaning that the person's not carrying a big backpack with overnight sleeping supplies, et cetera, et cetera. They may just have a day pack with a bottle of water, and they're just taking a leisurely walk up into the hills surrounding Yosemite. And they're never found. They're never seen again. Their pack's never found. Equipment's never found. Nothing is ever found. So these people lay out this storyline, and they say, there isn't any real follow-up to anything regarding disappearing people.
We'll get into more about Missing 411. What's going on here? What happened to these people? David Politis is the guy who's been doing the research. We have J.C. Johnson with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we're focusing on the new book about missing people in North America from David Politis, with J.C. Johnson joining us too. So we're trying to figure out here when this becomes important. Now, I assume, you know, when somebody doesn't show up or someone goes on a vacation or something and doesn't get back, in a situation like this, unless there's a large immediate family or friends, people are just going to ignore it, right?
That wasn't the angle that this person was approaching it on. That wasn't the angle we approached it on. We're just looking at people that reported as missing. They could have been in camp with three or four other people and they just didn't come back from the hike. And they gave us this broad swath of information, a few locations to look at. They were polite. They said, hey, you need to look into this because there's a story here and there's a problem here and we don't know what it is, but look into it. They left. The next morning, I'm driving home. I call a couple of former law enforcement friends and I lay out what I was just told. And I said, hey, get into the computer, make a few phone calls, find out if this is real. And within 2 hours, we came back and said, wow, there's something here that really is a story that needs to be looked into. So when you look at the national park system in the United States and Canada, it's a very well-organized federal group. They have their own police officers. These police officers go to the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Virginia. They are highly trained. They're better trained than most police officers in small cities across the U.S. They get federal training. They go back regularly for additional training. These are not the guys that clean campsites. These are not the guys that change the garbage cans. These guys are in patrol cars. They have a classification as a law enforcement officer. And subsequent to that, they have special agents within their group that do the follow-up on these cases. So they have a strong law enforcement contingent in the national park system. Holding that thought and with that knowledge base, we sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the National Park Service asking for a list of missing people inside their system and a list specifically of missing people from Yosemite. And you got to understand this. You could go onto almost any website of any medium-sized city in North America, and on that police department website, they're going to have a list of missing people from that city. It's just normal. It's part of the basic law enforcement training you go through. You understand that if somebody from a city official walks into your department and says, hey, how many people do we have missing in our city today? The police chief will be able to go to a file and within an hour show you a list of missing people. It's like missing persons 101 to police officers. It's very, very basic.
All right, clarify here. We're focusing here mostly on individuals who disappeared within the national park system.
So filing a Freedom of Information Act request against the Park Service for this information. After about 2 months, we get a letter back from an attorney inside the National Park System, not a regular response, stating that they do not keep track of missing people. They have never kept track of missing people. They don't know how many people are missing in their parks. And if we wanted a list of all the missing people in the National Park System, that list would cost us $1.4 million for them to do their research. If we wanted a list from Yosemite, that'd be $34,000. Now, I want to explain, you can keep a list of missing people on a piece of graph paper, on a clipboard, on a wall in an office. Where somebody goes missing, the date, the time, their name. It's not real tough. It's not rocket science. And as I've been approached by many other police officers and administrators across North America, something is wrong there. This is not normal practice. For them not to be responsible enough and held accountable for this information almost shows that it was a calculated practice to not keep this information.
Wouldn't it be a trivial matter just to record this in a computer, have a computer database of this kind of information? Why wouldn't they have it?
The million-dollar question.
Sounds like a cover-up to me, boy, I'll tell you. $34,000 just to come up with a list of people missing from Yosemite? It doesn't
Correct.
Make sense. Something's a little downwind to Denmark on that whole deal.
So much for the Freedom of Information Act. Sure, you can get the information. Well, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
and to JC's point, there is a segment there that's in the law that says that they can make a reasonable charge for this information, except that there's also a contingent there that if you're the member of the press or you're a printed author, they have to grant you an exception. So I claimed the author exception. I had two books printed by Hancock House, a big publishing house, and the attorney came back and said that they won't allow that exemption with me because they stated that my books aren't in enough public libraries. And trust me, friends, that is not anywhere in the Freedom of Information Act where they can claim that.
So that's a new litmus test. It has to be in a number of libraries. If it's in less than that number of libraries, it doesn't count. That's wacky.
And they won't tell you what that... They won't tell you what that number of libraries is either.
Boy, it's sure, we're getting closer to the fish market here. Yeah, so continue. What did you do? What did this indicate to you? And what was your next steps that you had to take?
So when you get a response like that, anyone with any level of common sense knows this is a red flag. And so if we have to go the long distance to get the information, we'll do it. And Yosemite just happened to be a couple hours from where I lived in California. And I said, you know what? If I have to camp out at the library to go through every newspaper archive I have to, I'm going to do it. And then everyone else in our group said, hey, we'll do it too. We'll do it too. And it slowly started to steamroll. The number of disappearances in Yosemite is absolutely mind-boggling. And we're not talking about disappearances where the person fell into a river. The person disappeared near a body of water. We excluded every one of those. We're talking about unusual disappearances. One of the most unusual I wrote about was a girl 15 years old named Stacy Aris. Stacy was with her dad and a group as they were backpacking on horseback through an area called Sunrise Camps up in the higher elevations of Yosemite. And they rode for a day, and they're about 15, 16 people on horseback. They rode into these small cabins way up in the middle of nowhere and many miles from a road. And they got off the horseback, and Stacy went into the cabin and freshened up and got changed. And there was a 70-plus-year-old man that was a friend, and her and this old man walked out to this point. And everybody in the group saw him walk to the point, and Stacy told her dad that she was going to walk out there and take her camera and take a few pictures. And she walked out there with this old man, and the old man sat down on a rock, and they had a conversation. And then Stacy told the man she was going to walk over a couple of rocky bluffs. And this area, if you can imagine, is just covered with boulders, huge, huge boulders of granite. And there's very little tree coverage. And down a couple hundred yards from where they were was a small lake that had a lot of trees, big trees around the lake. And Stacy said she was going to go down to this lake and take a few pictures. Now, again, to set the scenario, they rode in on horseback. They're in the middle of nowhere. There's no roads nearby. There's no way to really take Stacy forcibly without her screaming her head off. Or even a big man, you cannot carry a normal-sized woman a long distance in the middle of nowhere.
I'll tell you what, this show is going to go nowhere if I don't do this break. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hey neighbors, meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can for one flat rate. You have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you can be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
For all women and men who wish their fingernails were harder, this Christmas, wishes come true. Introducing Nails of Steel, a new revolutionary nail hardener. Nails of Steel puts muscle into your soft nails with a creamy, rich, natural herbal formula that is antifungal, hypoallergenic, and biodegradable. Just massage a drop of Nails of Steel over your natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time. Within the first week, you'll notice your nails getting stronger to eliminate breaking, chipping, splitting, hanging nails, and fungus. Nails of Steel makes a great stocking stuffer for women or men. And right now, get 3 1-ounce bottles for only $74.95. That's about a $5 price break on each bottle that'll last you for months. Visit nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
Oh, my aching back. I've got to get some relief for my arthritis.
When arthritis pain rears its ugly head, rub on Smooth Gator, the 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gator provides topical relief from head to toe and everywhere in between to stop pain fast. Smooth Gator is made with all natural oils, including wintergreen, aloe vera, and eucalyptus, in a safe, non-greasy formula. Rub Smooth Gator on your neck, back, legs, knees, hands, any muscle or joint where pain from arthritis, sprain, strains, or backache needs fast 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gator can also be used for allergies, sinuses, fibromyalgia, and rheumatoid arthritis. In the time it took to listen to this message, you could have had relief with Smooth Gator, the 60-second pain relief. Go to smoothgator.com or phone 727-278-3137. Call 727-278-3137 or click smoothgator.com, the 60-second pain relief.
I'm the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
David Politis and J.T. Johnson joining us. We're exploring mysterious disappearances on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, focusing on state parks, finding what's going on. So people are just disappearing. Before we get into some of the cases of what's involved, I suppose we could consider here, because it's possible they're being taken away by animals or something?
So I'll explain the heir's disappearance, and we'll kind of walk into that. So Stacy walks down to this lake, and she disappears. She never comes back. A massive search, many weeks. Probably, this is back in the 60s, they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. They never found her. And there was massive reports written about this case. The only thing they ever found was they found the lens cap to her camera on the middle of the trail near the lake. Now, we filed a Freedom of Information Act request to obtain the reports on the Stacy Ayres disappearance, and the National Park Service refuses to give it to us because they say it's an ongoing case, even though nobody's looked at that case in 20 years. And there are no suspects, yet they won't give it to us. We appealed this through Congress, and we still can't get the case. And this is the one case that they will not give us.
Now, the way it's situated, a national park, David, this means that local police authorities just can't get on there and pursue an independent investigation.
Not entirely true. National search and rescue on national parks is oftentimes in conjunction with a county search and rescue team.
But they have to be invited on the property, right?
Correct.
Okay.
99% of the time they are.
But in this case here, the local authorities are not being invited to pursue this.
No, local authorities were invited, and they did participate in the search. But the record keeping is kept by the National Park Service.
So the local authorities have no independent record to access?
Not going back that far. It's hard to find records on missing people with local jurisdictions that far into the past when they aren't the investigating body. The National Park Service had the responsibility of maintaining the records and keeping that case active.
All right. Now, keeping the information about this disappearing woman secret for over 20 years, is this a typical problem here, or is it anomalous, or what?
It's unusual. But we've had other cases in Crater Lake up in Oregon where we knew certain people disappeared during a specific period of time. The National Park Service came back, and they said that they destroyed all the cases during that period of time.
Duh.
I said, wait a minute. The person's missing. It was a criminal case. The FBI came in. They did a search and processed the scene, and you lost everything? They said, yeah, we destroyed everything.
Now, I don't know about conspiracy theories and other conspiracy theories, but before we get into more case histories and possible reasons, why on earth would anyone do anything like this? It doesn't make sense to me at all, or I guess to anybody.
So, to get to your point regarding animal attacks, when an animal attacks an adult or even an older teenager, if that attack occurs, there's going to be a lot of hair, there's going to be a lot of blood, there's going to be a lot of screaming, you're going to fight for your life. This isn't going to be a quiet, take you away, you're going to disappear, and no one's ever going to find any evidence. These are professional teams that go in there and look for people, and they look for specifics just like you stated. If someone attacks an adult or a 15-year-old girl, you're going to fight for your life. And there are few animals in Yosemite that could take on an adult and kill him. Now, maybe if a big mountain lion got the drop on you, possible. But again, it's going to be a big fight with a lot of blood and a scene that's going to be readily identifiable. None of those scenes and none of those circumstances are involved in any of the cases, and they've been excluded if there's any evidence of that in any of the cases. These cases stand on their own as very unusual.
There's never any evidence anywhere, just someone vanishes from the face of the earth, almost literally?
Well, there's several cases that we write about where pieces of the people were found, minute pieces of individuals. There's a couple of cases where people were found and their pants were taken out, and their pants were inside out laying next to these pieces of them, yet there was no bite marks or any tears in the pants.
Now, you say pieces of someone, are we talking about, and we're getting graphic here, folks, so don't have your dinner when we talk about this. Are we talking about fingers, nails, what?
We're talking about minute pieces of bones. Maybe fingernail-sized pieces of bones. Very, very small.
Doesn't that imply some kind of animal intervention here?
I also don't want to generalize about everything. Every case is different. Some cases they have found people that were dead, and they were intact and frozen. One case specifically I wrote about where a kid's pants were down to his knees, and he died in Great Smoky Mountain National Park, along with several other people who have vanished there. So there's a string of unusual disappearances there. Another time, an individual named Bart Schleyer died in the Yukon Territory while he was bow hunting for moose. And there's been a lot of people that have written untruths about that story. Truth is, Bart was a naturalist that actually captured bear for the state of Montana and then did it for Russia, for their country. He was an absolute bear expert and an absolute wildlife expert. He was out moose hunting alone next to a lake. He vanished. The RCMP first went into the camp and said they couldn't find him. His friends went back into the camp, and they found his pants. They found his baklava. They found a few other things. They found bear scat at the scene, and newspaper reports indicated that there was human remains in the bear scat. That is not true. The Department of Natural Resources investigator that handled that case stated that there was no human remains in the scat. They don't know what attacked and killed Schleyer, and in his 33 years working for the Natural Resources, he had never seen something more unusual in his life. And he was amazed that I was able to find him and find that story.
Doesn't that imply there, in a situation like that, some kind of animal intervention, though?
I'm not going to say it's animal because the expert couldn't say it was animal.
All right. Now, in a general sense, there are people who want to disappear. They have bills. They have family problems. They'd rather just vanish if they could. Find a way where they just go off the radar. And maybe they're somewhere else in another part of the country or a different country. And that's a deliberate action. So in a case like this, where we have these mysterious disappearances, do you have a sense of how many are deliberately done by the person who wants to get away from it all?
If we had an inkling of that, we threw that case out. Again, we went through this with a fine-tooth comb.
How do you have an inkling of it, though? How do you have an inkling of something like that?
Let's say there was a statement from a relative, he didn't really want to be here, he wanted to commit suicide, or he wanted to drop out of the society or something, and he wanted to move, and he didn't want anyone to follow him. If there was a statement, statement like that somewhere, then they excluded it.
Okay.
But
okay.
90% of the cases that follow that logic involve little tiny kids.
How tiny? What are we talking about? What age group?
Between 2 and 8.
Oh, my God. Well, we know kids sometimes want to run away from their parents, but in a national park on a visit.
That doesn't make sense to me. That would be an indication of foul play or something unusual, obviously.
You're saying basically, Chris, if there's a situation there, child abuse or something, or a kidnapping, we have some evidence. Certainly kidnapping, because you think, well, someone's going to ask for a ransom. There has to be some ulterior motive, not just to take someone, or I don't know.
You know, these
TV shows about slavery and all that stuff.
There's some pretty sick people out there in the world, and I'm sure that some of these cases potentially could be some sort of kidnapping for whatever sick reasons that people might have. But I need to get a better sense, David, of the numbers that you've uncovered. What kind of numbers are we talking about here? I mean, have you been able to come up with a figure? Let's say per year or a total. What are we talking about here? Are these hundreds of cases, thousands?
Then again, in the scheme of things, one unexplained case is more than enough. We'll get into those numbers and a lot more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
So it's off to Grandma's house for the holidays, eh? That's great. But while you're going over the river and through the woods, professional burglars are choosing easy targets to break into. Don't be an easy target. Plug in fake TV. Fool criminals into believing someone's home at your house watching TV. Fake TV works a bit like the light on a timer, but fake TV is far more convincing. Fake TV plugs into any outlet and simulates the light and colors of a real TV. Burglars will likely move on to easier targets and leave your house alone. Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and makes a great Christmas gift. Or it's perfect if you're traveling over the holidays or anytime. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Farmers keep livestock lean and healthy with a mineral-rich diet. Then, before market, they cut off minerals, leading them to crave high-calorie grains. If weight control is this easy, why prescribe surgery for humans? Introducing Youngevity. You could avoid 900 diseases by getting 90 essential nutrients from Youngevity. Check out 90 for Life at TubeYoungAgain.com or call 855-79-YOUNG. That's 855-79-YOUNG or TubeYoungAgain.com. Youngevity. It's all about saving money, getting healthy, and creating wealth.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
In a previous segment, Chris O'Brien asked a question of David, the numbers, how many people are involved here, a year, overall, whatever, in these mysterious disappearances, David?
So, we documented over 400, but One of the issues on this, and somebody brought it up to me in an email the other day, and it was very astute of them, is that if somebody was abducting people in a short period of time in a single location, it would raise a red flag. But if somebody was methodically picking indiscriminate locations over an extended period of time, but say today we abduct one from Yosemite and tomorrow we abduct one from a rural location in Montana and then 5 days later from Oklahoma, it's not going to really raise a red flag. And if you look at this and you read the circumstances that follow this, you're going to see that there is parallels to each one of these. One of the things that we talk about in the book is that many, many times when somebody disappears, either right before or just as the search is starting, bad weather hits the area. And that occurs more times than not. And I'm talking about rain, snow, wind, hail. Just, it destroys evidence. It makes the tracking almost impossible for the people. The waters and the creeks and the rivers rise. Another thing that comes up regularly, let's say a kid runs away from their parents because they're upset at them in a national park. Well, you know, the kid's lost, they bring in canines. The canine's brought to the parents give a piece of clothing that's been worn by the kid to the canine. Canine runs off, finds the kid within 20 minutes. That's the way it should happen more times than not. Not in these cases. Sometimes the canine will lay down and won't even want to track. Other times the canine walks in circles as though it's confused. But in no time in any of these cases does a canine go and find the person.
Well, that's the most curious thing of all, that a dog can be fooled into not being able to find anything or acting frightened?
That's correct.
I'd like to bring in something this time, too, that's going to come up later. We're in a situation where people have pointed the finger at Bigfoot or pedophiles or mass murderers or kidnappers in the National Forest. And I would just like to bring up a couple of stories from eyewitnesses that I have. And we've got a family up on the Lukachukai Mountains, one of my research areas, and they herd sheep and cattle up there. And they were building a road on this old uranium road where the mines used to be up there, and they're trying to get back to get some firewood and more easy access to some of the cattle they're pushing down. And I talked with them for some time, and there was some little kids there and the adults and the uncle, and one of the little kids started crying, and he said something to her in Navajo that I recognized. And I said, "You're telling her not to cry because, like, the boogeyman's going to get her?" He goes, "Essentially, yeah, that's what I just told her." I said, "Well, that's kind of scary." He said, "Well, just a few weeks ago, a little girl was out pinyon picking with her family, and she was crying and having fits. She was 3 years old, and she was not having a good day out in the sunshine with the family. And they said the same thing to her, and a few minutes later, she's gone, completely gone. They can't find any footprints, anything to indicate where she went. And they went out, instead of waiting for law enforcement, which would have taken several hours to get there, they had some people cutting wood locally, they had some other people pushing sheep and cattle, and they went and told them this little girl was missing, and they just took off looking for her. And eventually they found her, and she was about 3 miles away, up in a cave-type area, up in some clefts of a rock with an overhang, crying her eyes out when they found her. But the interesting thing, she would have had to cross over a couple of creeks and some really steep mountainous areas to get into this area and then climb up into this rocky, cavey overhang. You know, they found that unusual. And being the limited speech of a three-year-old, the only thing she could tell him is the bear man took her.
Goodness. Well, so, David, I mean, do you have any theories about what we're dealing with here, these inexplicable disappearances that, especially when tracking dogs won't participate or act in an abnormal manner? You know, I actually trained dogs for a Doberman kennel when I was in high school, and I know a little bit about how well these animals are able to track. I think the record is 80 miles, tracking someone actually in a car. A bloodhound was able to follow 80 miles the scent of a particular individual that was a person of interest that they were tracking. Dogs have very good noses, and they're able to pick up parts per trillion in the environment. What is your feeling about this? Well, what do you think we're dealing with here? I'm sure there's no one-size-fits-all answer, but give us your thinking here.
So one of the things that we decided early on in this project is that there are so many kids, very young, that have disappeared, that if we start to propose a hypothesis on what's happening here, the hypothesis becomes the story, and the kids become an asterisk. The reality of it is that we want the stories of these people that have disappeared, that have just been lost, that aren't being told, that get no publicity and no media. We want those to be out there. What I think is really irrelevant, and why I say that, is that since the books have become widely available, I've gotten thousands of emails, and I can tell you that I've heard 10 different hypotheses that each one of them were probably 10 pages long that were extremely well thought out, that were, I think, that are somewhat viable on their face, because I've heard all of these before eventually, but never posed like that. And so I think exactly whatever I think, probably I'm wrong. But the truth is that it's not a standard cookie-cutter disappearance. There's something unusual happening. Coupled with the amount of reports that have been lost, the refusal to supply data, I mean, if you have some level of common sense, you can see that this isn't normal.
I think the government, the U.S. government, is hiding. I mean, this should not be an issue. This type of information should be transparent and easily available from someone like yourself, who's a published author and a ex-law enforcement official. What do you think the government's hiding? Just numbers, or you know, just sheer volume of potential disappearance cases, or what do you think's going on there? That's very unusual. I had no idea that it was so difficult to get this type of information from the Department of Interior.
So a very close friend of mine is the head of a major law enforcement group in the U.S. and he read the books, and he's talked to me hours about this, and he said, Dave, there's only one thing that could be happening here. The government can't control, they can't respond, and they can't kill whatever is doing this. Because if it was anything else, they would go in and they would do it. And in the book, there's two instances in the 1960s of small boys that disappeared from national parks. One boy was named Dennis Martin, Great Smoky Mountain National Park. He disappeared when he was with his dad, his grandfather, and his brother in a field, Spence Field, and another boy named Douglas Legg, who disappeared in the Adirondacks in northern New York. Both these boys were in family settings, just vanished quickly, and giant searches were started. And in both of these instances, the Green Berets showed up, Now, in the 1960s, the National Park Service law enforcement people were not armed. Green Berets showed up in helicopters. They landed in a field. They set up their own communication system. They didn't search with National Park people. They were armed, and they never told anybody what their mission was. The assumption was that they were looking for Dennis Martin. And the same exact thing happened with Douglas Legg in northern New York. Now, since these books have been out, you know, I've got to believe that the Green Berets were somehow searching for Dennis or Douglas. Well, since the books have been out, I've been contacted by three different families of Green Berets. And the Green Berets signed an oath of secrecy to join Special Forces, so they'll never talk about what their mission or the mission statement was. But the families of these people who talk to them regularly, their families talk, and three different times I got responses only saying a very short statement, being Green Berets do not search for missing kids. We filed a Freedom of Information Act request against the Army, asking for all the orders and all the paperwork associated with the search that the Green Berets did. And not only did we get refused, they wouldn't even respond or acknowledge the three separate times we filed these.
We'll get into a lot more of this coverage. Why won't they give you that information? Why is it being kept a secret? With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in four sizes starting at only $100. In all orders to the lower 48, ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.